So as I was preparing today, I had everything done, and I thought, oh, yay, I'm done early. It was about 3:30, and the Holy Spirit said, that's not what I want you to teach on. So I had to go back and revamp, totally redo everything that I had. I thought, so I'll save it for another time, what I have, but God said, no, this is what I want you to talk on. And it wasn't for any reason. I was just kind of juggling with what he wanted to say tonight. But the title of what I'm going to talk about, thank you for joining us online. If you're with us, thank you for being with us. We have a whole family online that follows us, and we're so grateful that you're with us tonight. Get your Bible out, get your pen, get your journal, and take notes, because when you write things down, it sticks. It helps you. And then you can go back and go, oh, what was that thing that I remember, and it gives opportunity not just for me to speak into your life, but for the Holy Spirit to say something beyond what I'm verbally saying to you. You can hear on the inside, as you all know, and you are all very well trained to do, and allow the Holy Ghost to bring some things up in your own spirit so you grow in that way. How many do that in your own personal time? You get out a journal, you get out a notebook and a pen, and it's good because you can give way for the Holy Spirit to say something. And sometimes we don't acknowledge him. And the more we acknowledge him in that way, the more we'll hear him. And so it's putting an expectation for him to speak into your life. And it's giving him permission to say something when we do that. We're saying, I'm ready to hear from you. I like to do that also in prayer. I like to jot things down when I get things in prayer. How many get things in prayer sometimes and you want to jot things down? It's good to see you, by the way. All those that were missing on Sunday, we're glad you're back. So praise God. Tonight I want to speak on God's secret spiritual force. How many can guess what that might be? You're not supposed to show that bottom part. How many can guess what God's secret spiritual force is? Take a stab. Anybody? Clues. Our society today, right now, you can see there's such an upheaval in our world. And it's, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We know it's not a parties fight. It's a battle from the enemy, right? There's darknesses, there's principalities, there's powers that rule. And there are enemies in the spirit realm that are in an upheaval right now because they know their time is short. And so you can see that, you know, obviously we're getting ready to go into the election, and I just want to speak to that a little bit. I'm not being political, although I think it's our right to be political. I'm being biblical, and we need to vote for the party who speaks biblically. And I believe that, and my husband's very strong on this, but anybody that kills babies, that's not biblical. Anybody that opens a door for children to change their gender, that's not biblical. And so we vote on biblical standards. Amen. And by not voting, we are not using our voice and not doing what we are responsible to do as American citizens. And so I would just encourage everyone here, please, please vote. Do your part as an American citizen and let your voice be heard. Because this election, like no other, is so vital. And we have to be involved and do our part and take our place and say what we mean and say what we want. Amen? And don't feel bad afterwards if somebody gets in that you didn't like and you didn't vote, because, you know, you need to let your voice be heard through your vote. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But you can see in our world, you know, and I don't even like to be on, I don't like to view too many social media, Instagram things. They kind of flash through as you're looking. But here and there you'll see, you know, the different parties, how they're saying things. And there's so much disharmony in our world today. In the U.S. right now, there's just, you know, crazy stuff. You know, just so much stupidity and things that are being heard and said and done that are just absolutely antichrist. It's an antichrist spirit. I'll just call it like it is. It's an antichrist spirit. But what it's done is it's created a disharmony and a disunity in our society in the U.S. right now. And it's the devil. It's just that antichrist spirit, because he knows his time is short. But the problem is it has bled into the church. That lack of harmony, that lack of unity is had its way, and there's people that are saying things that don't need to be said, and, you know, and argue. We're not going to argue with anybody. We're going to peacefully speak the truth in love. The word tells us to do that. Speak the truth in love, but we're not going to argue and fight or be angry or all those things. So unity is what the spiritual force is. And it is a spiritual force. It's not just being in agreement. Unity is more than just agreement. It's a spiritual force. Unity requires more than one. I can go home and be in it's not really unity because all there is me. Unity requires more than one person, right? Just like I don't really need the fruit of the Spirit operating in my life if I don't have anybody in my life. But I'm called to fellowship. I'm called to be joined up and to be connected to people, to fellowship with others. That's what we're called to do. You can't be in unity with just you, right? Actually, you can be in disharmony with just you. You can be in strife in your mind with all kinds of stuff. And so we were not meant to do life alone. We were meant to do life with each other, right? So here's the definition of strife. And I don't really want to focus on strife, but I have to kind of touch on it a little bit because I want to focus more on the unity side. But the definition of strife is conflict, antagonism, quarrel, struggle, clash, competition. Did you know competition is part of strife? It can be. Disagreement, opposition, fight. So Proverbs 13:10 says, wisdom opens your heart to receive wise counsel. But pride closes your ears to advice and gives birth to only quarrels and strife. So the root of strife is pride. Would you not agree with me? Deuteronomy, and I thought this was really interesting. The source of strife originates from pride and insecurity. I did some studying on this, and there's some other things in there too, but pride and insecurity. Why is that? Why do you think that is? Well, look at the devil. He caused strife when he was in heaven. And what was his whole issue? He was full of pride. He thought he was greater and better. And that pride issue on the inside of him, I really believe pride causes insecurities. Because you think you're so full of what you think is right. But really, in reality, the beginning of that scripture in Proverbs, it says, what does it say? Wisdom opens your heart to receive wise counsel. So a wise man is open to receiving counsel, wise counsel. But a man who is not wise is closed-hearted and not wanting to listen to others. And so it causes pride. It causes insecurities. Because, you know, I think security comes from counseling with each other, with those who are wise. I know when I get with other pastors and we start talking about, you know, what works, what doesn't work, what are you getting out of the word, what's the Holy Ghost doing in your church, I feel like I can glean from those things. Not that I'm going to emulate that, but I can glean from those things. And iron sharpens iron. We gain strength from being able to counsel with one another. If I'm pulling away from that, then I'm not receiving any counsel, and I'm relying on my own strength and my own ability. And the word talks about that in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, to not lean on your own understanding. There's another scripture that talks about wise counsel. What is it in the of many there is wise counsel? In the multitude of many there is wise counsel. Anyway, that's not my notes. So in Deuteronomy 32:30, it says, one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And so, you know, math wasn't my greatest strength in school, but when you look at this, if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. The word multiplies things when we're in unity. So there is a spiritual principle here that produces a synergy when unity is in place that changes everything. And I'm not speaking to this because I think that there's strife in our church or that anybody's against anybody. I'm just telling you what the Holy Ghost is saying because I want to come at it in a little bit different direction because I really think the importance of, it's just like when we're speaking to a situation in our life, what is that saying we always say? If we don't say something, we lose by default, right? If we're not speaking the word, we lose by default. We have to be speaking something. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So we need to be saying life words, right? If we don't say anything, we miss out. Well, I think unity has to be an active force. if I'm not actually doing something to cause unity, then I lose by default. If I'm not actively, and I think that's what the Holy Spirit was saying in the beginning. He said, nothing is by accident. Everything God does is purposeful. There's purpose in everything he does. There's purpose in us being here. And so there's purpose, intentional living. There's purpose in us being actively unified. For instance, if I come into church and I never say anything to anybody, I just sit down and listen, and then I leave and I never say anything to anybody, how am I actually actively participating in unity? I'm here, I'm present, but if I'm skipping out, I'm never coming early, I'm never a part of the gatherings when we eat, I'm never praying with each other, you know, there's things that we do to kind of help the unity in our church. And if I'm never participating in what's involved in being in unity, I kind of lose by default. You know what I mean? Because you have a part to play in the unity of this church. You have participation. If I played a game, in school, I wasn't very good at games in school. I wasn't very confident. I didn't speak. Believe it or not, I didn't speak. I was kind of backward. I was shy. And I would sing, give me a mic and I'll sing, but I'm not going to introduce it. I'm not going to say anything. You know, that's my limit. If you put me in a game, I would kind of be like, you know, I just didn't really participate much. I'd kind of put my foot in. There was no confidence. And then because of that lack of confidence, there was insecurities. So I wasn't really a part of the unity of the team. A great sports team is not, they're not great just because they're all so qualified. They're great because they're in unity. They have a good leader and they are unified as a team. Wouldn't you say? And so I really see this, you know, in the church, the importance of our being unified in our participation in being unified, intentionally being unified with each other. There was a contest that I heard of. One oxen pulled 800 pounds. Another pulled a little less than 800 pounds. So they yoked them up together. And wouldn't you think that because one pulled 800, one pulled a little less, that maybe they would pull together, they would pull 1,600? 8 and 8, 16, I got that. So, but they were yoked together and they pulled 2,600. So there was something about that synergy of uniting them together that was a force beyond their own understanding, their own individual ability. There is a joining together and there's a unified force, a synergy that comes when we're unified together and we're like-minded and like-hearted. And we see that in the Acts, in the church in the Acts. They broke bread together, they prayed together, they offered help for each other, and the Holy Ghost fell, and they grew in numbers overnight. And so I want to propose in our church that we maybe step up intentionally in the unified way so that we can become more momentous, and I'm going to talk about momentum here in a little bit, momentous, so that we can grow. Because I believe what we have to offer in this place is very special and very important. The word of faith that's taught here, the move of the Spirit, and we're doing everything we can to follow what the Holy Ghost wants to do. We're trying to tweak things and do things different all the time. We're before the Lord all the time. And we just need your prayers. You know, if there's something that you see that you're thinking, man, I wish they'd change that. Well, instead of complaining or being judgmental or critical, let's get on board to pray together and say, you know, Lord, what is it that you would have us do as a body? What do we need to do to make things better so that we need, I'm just going to speak to the elephant in the room. We need to grow. This place should be full. Amen. I hear of other churches growing and the Spirit moving and all the things. I'm like, God, what's happening? So what do we need to do? I believe part of it is we need to be more unified in spirit, in mind, in voice, in tongue with each other, and how we encourage each other. Matthew 18:19, this is the ESV. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. How many believe in that scripture? I know when we were going through a situation with our eldest son, every time I felt like there was a challenge that was like a wall that we couldn't overcome, I would go grab my husband's hand and I'd say, we need to pray the prayer of agreement. We need to agree together against this situation. We need to take authority and we need to come together because there's power when we join together in our prayers. Amen? So unity produces strong spiritual power. there is an agreement. It's like a symphony. It's like, you know, we have different instruments that play songs, and if they all play the same thing, but all the instruments are different. You know, when we were in Italy, we had an opportunity to go see a chamber concert. There was like 8 of them. And there was a famous cellist and like 4 violinists and 3 violinists, viola, I don't know, all the things. See, he knows I don't. But when they all played, what I noticed is they all were watching, most of them were watching the music, some of them hadn't learned. But what I noticed is they were listening to each other. They weren't just getting up there going, ring, 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 ring. You know what I mean? There was this giving way for the violinist to come in and play his beautiful piece. And then they would set out, you know, he would hold on. I noticed the guy would put his, what's that called? His bow down for a moment while the cellist or the violinist would play their piece. And it was like they were giving way for each person to play their part. But in return, there was this beautiful music that was being played. And that's the way it is with us. We each have our own, we're all called. We're all called. We all have the same purpose. But the way we fulfill our calling is just a little bit different. So each one of us are playing our own instrument. And we don't have to be jealous about each other's instrument. We don't have to wish that we were doing what the other person did. We just kind of give way for each other to do their part, but then we're making beautiful music together. Does that make sense? So unity produces a strong spiritual power. Proverbs 6:16 through 19, you guys are familiar with this. These 6 things the Lord hates indeed. 7 are an abomination, a proud look. The Spirit makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, false witness who breathes out lies, even under oath, and he who sows discord among his brethren. That's the last one, discord. What is discord? Well, what are seeds? What are seeds? What contains seeds? Our words contain seeds, right? Words are seeds. And so when we're speaking out things against or about each other, and, you know, we can do it kind of slyly too, like, I just want you to pray for so-and-so. I heard that, da-da-da. We put it under the religious term. We just need to pray for, you know, I heard that they're going through a hard time or their marriage is going through, oh, I don't want to talk about it, but we just need to pray for them. You know, it's like, and I don't think anybody here does that because we're all mature Christians and we've grown up, praise God, but that's sowing discord. And there's ways that we can sow discord. We have to be careful. We're led by the Holy Ghost, so we're not allowing that disharmony or discord in our body. Unity enables the power of God to show up. How many remember the story of the Tower of Babel? I'm not going to read the whole thing. Genesis 11:6. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is the beginning. This is only the beginning of what they will do. Now nothing they have imagined, can you imagine? Nothing they have imagined will be impossible for them because they were unified. Not one thing. I like what the ESV, it says, nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them because they were unified. Of course, we know they were building that whole thing to worship the stars and not God, and it was not God's best. But the point is they were unified, and God said, there's nothing they can imagine that they can't do because they were unified. We need to take the lid off our heads and think about that. There's nothing that we can't do if we are unified in this place. Amen? A business, I mentioned it, has momentum. Momentum is said, it's momentum is a business's best friend, everyone working together. It requires unity. Some people are momentum makers, some people are momentum riders, and some people are momentum takers. They're not hooked into the vision. They're coming against. They've got their own ideas. They're complaining. They're critical. They're judgmental of what you're doing. There's one head, and the rest of us are flowing and going with the vision and the direction, the moment, and that's what brings momentum. That's what gives it life. You can feel it when you're in a room and you say, everybody with me, and you can kind of see it on people's faces sometimes. I mean, what's the saying? Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. So we need to be for each other, right? We need to be for our pastor and our leadership and our vision and the direction that we're going. Amen? If he brought you here and you're called to this place, then you're called. Not that we're perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. Y'all claim to be perfect? Only in Christ. But there are things that each one of you can bring to the table that can help the momentum. Help the momentum. Help us. We're ready. Lift our arms and let's do this thing together so that, because Jesus is coming soon. Amen? So, disunity will disrupt any marriage, any organization, any church. Disunity is down deep in a heart. And so there are selfish motives. Selfishness causes disunity. Insecurities and pride drive it. Remember Abraham, the story of Abraham in Genesis 13, Abraham and Lot. You guys remember that story where, Lot is Abraham's nephew. I believe it's in chapter 12. God speaks to Abraham and gives him all these blessings. And because Lot is alongside with Abraham, Lot was blessed because he was connected to Abraham. All of his blessings came from who he was connected to. And there was strife. And the word says, so Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife. I beg you. You know why? Because Abram knew the importance of being in unity. He knew what was being sacrificed by being in strife. He said, I beg of you between you and me or between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself, I beg you, for me. If you take the land, the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you choose the right hand, I will go to the left. Lot was rich because of who he was with. And so we know what happened. He chose the best land and he separated himself. And guess what happened? Once he disconnected himself from his blessing, he fell out and he fell and he was destroyed. So it's important. But Abram knew the importance of staying in peace and in harmony. And that's where the blessing flows, is in peace and harmony. Amen. And I'm not just speaking to you guys. I'm speaking to myself because I think this is an area where spiritually there is so much going on in the spirit realm right now. Can y'all feel it? Not that I want to glorify the enemy, but you can sense what's happening in our world. And again, like I said, I believe it's snuck into the church some. So I want to just, we need to be aware of our enemy's devices. That's what I'm doing. I'm making you aware of your enemy's devices tonight. And I'm saying he's been revealed. And we're not going to follow that plan. We're not going to follow that strife plan. Amen? So function and mission have to flow together. Our function and our mission have to flow. Right attitudes are especially important in the kingdom. What you do has to be for the right reason. When you're here serving in the church, it has to be for the right reason for all that's involved, not just for you, but for everybody. It's for the team, not just for personal gain. It's for all of us. Disharmony can come from wrong attitudes and wrong motives. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So it's required for us to have fellowship with one another, to walk in the light. That's part of it. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know why? You know why? I love what Dad Hagin used to say. He said, every step out of love is a step into sin. And when you get into sin, you get into the devil's territory, and that's a place of strife. And as we know, where there's strife, it's the manifest presence of the devil. And so we can't allow that door to be open. We've got to shut that door as quick. It will cost you everything. The moment you get into an argument, and I have to remind myself of this sometimes when I'm trying to teach Braden something, when I'm trying to teach my kids things, is the moment that you step into that place of strife, you have to ask yourself, can I afford this argument? Because it's going to cost me everything. Because your faith works by love. And if you've stepped out of love into arguing and strife, where there's strife, every evil work abounds. And so you're in this place where evil is abounding and you're getting further and further away from your prosperity, further and further away from your answers. It's not out of works, but you got to stay in the place of love where love flows. There's a flow. That's where God flows. He doesn't flow in strife. He doesn't flow out of that place of negativity and anger and resentment and strife and frustration and selfishness and pride. He doesn't flow there. So we have to stay in that place where love flows, because that's where God flows. Psalm 133:1 says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It's like precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord, there the Lord has commanded the blessing. And I looked up some stuff on this, and it's too much to explain, but dew actually represents a commanded blessing. It's a commanded blessing when we are in operating in that place where we're in unity. And I'm just going to say, we can come in and go, oh, I'm in unity. I don't have a problem with anybody here. But I'm just going to tell you, the moment you say that, you're going to be challenged. Your love walk's going to be challenged, right? My love walk was challenged as I walked in the door with some things. I'm not going to point any fingers, but nobody here. But I'm just saying, as soon as you start talking about it, as soon as you start taking a stand on it, you say, no, that's not me. I love everybody. Nobody bothers me. I just love everybody. But it'll hit you right in the heart where you are most challenged. It'll challenge something that you really, truly believe. It'll say something about your perspective in life. It'll say something about your perspective on the word. It'll say something about your perspective on your love walk. It'll challenge you in an area where you're going to have to decide, am I going to step into the place of ignoring this? Am I going to step in the place of believing the best in this person? Am I going to step in the place of not getting offended, of choosing to not hold unforgiveness, to not say, oh, they just don't know. They just don't know. Because that's pride. If we think somebody else, oh, they just don't know. I know, but they don't know. That's pride. If we think we know more than what somebody else is going through, and we decide somebody else is going through something because they're just not walking the way they need to walk, and we're deciding that on our own, then we've stepped into a place of pride. What's that scripture that says, I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me in a minute. So dew represents the commanded blessing of the Lord. Note, it comes down from the head. That means it comes down from the top. So from every place, from your marriage, it comes from the top. And there needs to be that unity in your home where it comes down from the top. In your church, in the government, it comes from the top. So the anointing flows. Good or bad, there's an anointing that's flowing. Good or bad, yes, there is a bad anointing, and it can flow from the top. And so I won't say anything. And so we have to be careful that we are walking in that good anointing. Amen. And the anointing is, you know, it's the presence, the manifest presence of God. It's the oil of the Holy Spirit. And what does oil do? It just enables us to flow better, enables us to walk in the light. Yeah, it avoids the friction. It just makes things easier. I can tell when we've stepped into a place, you know, it's here always. We are carriers of the anointing. The anointing is within us, but it's upon us also. And there's different levels of anointing, and you can sense it when we're operating in that place of being anointed to speak into somebody's life, when we're anointed to make money. Yes, you can be anointed to make money. You can be anointed to do your job well. You can be anointed to speak into family members' lives. You can be anointed to raise children. You can be anointed to be a spouse. You can be anointed or not. You can choose it. But I will just guarantee that place of being anointed is a place of love. And it's a place of self-sacrifice, because you can't be thinking that you're right about everything and doing everything your way and say, I'm walking in love, because there's going to be opportunity for you to cast down what you think and what you feel, right? Yeah? Okay, so God commands a blessing when there's unity. Strife is a lack of unity. It disrupts. It divides. Strife discourages. How many have ever been in strife? You've experienced it, yes. And, you know, whether it be in a marriage or with children, or probably we've all experienced church hurt, all the things, it's discouraging. And it makes your heart heavy. But it's also distracting. It can cause you to not be able to think straight. It can keep you from following the plan of God for your life. Strife just comes in, like the word says, every evil work abounds where there's confusion and strife, and it causes discord. Ephesians 4, 3 through 4 says, be eager. What does the word eager mean? Be excited. Be on purpose. Be intentional. And strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. So peace has a binding power. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. So endeavoring to work for it, to strive for it. The devil sows discord. Farmer sows wheat. The enemy sows tares, and he forms divisions. So we have to be careful, and we're aware of his devices. And we recognize those tares, and we recognize in your spirit, you can automatically feel it and say, I'm not going there. But the problem is when we step into it, we've stepped into the field, and sometimes we can't tell what's wheat and what's tares. So we get so distracted by it that before you know it, we're in the middle of it, and we're caught. We're caught. We got to stay outside of it, prayed up in the spirit so that we recognize which one is the wheat, which one is the tare. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I've been caught in arguments, especially with my kids. Ooh, one of them especially. Just before you know it, you're like caught in this whirlwind of strife, and you're like, how did I get here? You know, you didn't mean to. You guys know what I mean? It's like a whirlwind. It's like a tornado. It pulls you, sucks you in. And so the only way we can be aware of that is praying in the spirit, being aware of strife, recognizing what it looks like before you get there. Now, let me just address this. Because there's a difference between talking things out and communication with, especially with your spouse and your kids. Sometimes you have to talk some things through. Sometimes you have to get some things out on the table. And this is where it takes discipline and it takes maturity to be able to communicate with an order and a way that doesn't cross the line. Because, and this is something that I think Christians have failed in this area. We think that if we've stepped into any kind of disagreement, we've stepped into a place of strife. I'm going to have a perspective about something, and she's going to have a perspective about something. But if we discuss something, as long as it doesn't come against the Word of God, we're not going to change what the Word says. There's truth. That's our plumb line. But we may have opinions about, she might like red hair and I might like blonde hair. And she might say, well, red hair is the only way to go. And I'm going to say, well, blonde hair is the only way. You know, I'm just saying there could be, or it's a perspective. It's an idea. Every one of us have our own perspectives and opinions. I'm not talking about truth, the Word. I'm talking about life in general. We have a right to be individuals. We don't all have to be the same. That's what makes us individuals. My husband and I have difference of opinions on some things, and that's okay. I don't have to form my, he doesn't have to be what I want to be, him to be, and I don't have to be what he wants me to be, right? We do our best to walk in love with each other, but I'm just saying, it's okay for you to sit down and have a conversation in love, not crossing the boundaries, and you don't have to agree always, but as long as you're staying on that straight path. Am I making sense? Because I feel like this is something we avoid and we'll walk away from it and say, no, I'm not getting in strife. But somewhere in here, there's some communication that needs to take place, or you got communication gaps and then you got things that are never resolved. There's issues that need to be resolved and you've got to take it. And if you can't do it by yourself, then you need to get a counselor. You need to get a friend or somebody, a leader, a Christian leader, not just anybody, somebody that can help bring some wisdom. What's the scripture we read in the beginning about wisdom with counsel? And what it does is it lays down pride. It lays down my idea is right, yours is wrong, because we all have difference of opinions, right? And so does this making sense? All right. So let's look at the scripture real quick, and then I'm going to try to close. Let's see how much I have left. James James 3:16. Isn't it interesting that John 3:16 is where Jesus gave his life, and James 3:16 is talking about jealousy and contention. For wherever there is jealousy, envy, contention, rivalry, selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil and vile practices. What is it? What comes first? Jealousy, contention, selfish ambition, confusion, unrest. This is what causes strife. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom from above, here we're talking about the wisdom, is first of all pure, it's undefiled, then it's peace-loving. What do we read in Proverbs? It says that that there's wisdom in the counsel of many. It lays down the pride, right? So it says it's peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle. I love when I'm able to talk to someone, and there's maybe a situation that's sticky, and there's consideration. There's an ability to just speak and talk some things through. You know what that is? That's walking in love. That's being considerate of each other, right? Now there's those who won't listen. There's those who are just going to buck, and you can't. And that, I would say, forget it. Okay, so considerate, gentle. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentleness is a part of the fruit. It's willing to yield to reason. I'll just leave that there. You can think about that later. Meditate on it. Full of compassion and good fruits. We talked about the fruits just now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I love that love and self-control are the bookends of the fruit of the Spirit, because you need love and you need self-control to be able to handle any kind of situation like this. Love, self-control. Self-control says, I value your opinion. I value what you have to say. I want to be in unity with you. My heart is with you and for you. Let's talk this out, right? It takes love. It takes self-control. Are y'all with me on this? I'm hoping that you're with me. You're not thinking, she's just really off. I'm giving you the word, okay? All right. This is absolutely James, the word. It is willing to yield to reason, full of compassion, good fruits. It's wholehearted, straightforward. I'm all about straightforward. Impartial and unfeigned, free from doubts, wavering, and insincerity. And the 3:18 says, and the harvest, this is the harvest of righteousness, conformity to God's will in thought and deed. This is the harvest. This is considered to be righteousness. It's the fruit of the seed. We talked about the seed. What's the seed? Sown in peace. Our words, sown in peace. This is the fruit of it. By those who work for and make peace. How many know sometimes making peace is work? You work for it and you make peace in themselves and in others. That peace, which means concord, agreement, harmony between individuals with undisturbedness. I love that word, undisturbedness, and a peaceful mind free from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts. Wow, there's a lot there. It would behoove you to go back and meditate and do a study. I did a study on these particular scriptures a long time ago, and I really believe, you know, the scripture says, do I have it in there? Matthew 5:9 says, blessed, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, that's the Amplified, obviously, are the makers and the maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. Let me read that again. Blessed, enjoying enviable happiness. How many are enjoying enviable happiness? Like overwhelming happiness. Spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are those who are maintainers, makers and maintainers of peace, for they shall be called the sons of God. So we can be makers and maintainers. Of course, you guys know that scripture, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the earth. So let me just say this. Be willing to be wrong, even if you're right. Unity keeps the anointing in your life. Sometimes we have to shut up. Why do I need to shut up? Because I need the anointing in my life. Ask yourself if this agreement, this argument is worth your anointing. Is it worth your faith? Is it worth you advancing in God? Can you afford this? And be willing to just step aside and say, I'm not going there. I didn't read 1 Corinthians because I didn't have a lot of time, but you guys know the scripture. Can you bring up the message in 1 Corinthians 13 really quick? If I can speak in tongues of men and of angels and have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So if I'm in a place where I'm not in unity and I'm stepping into strife, I'm just a noisy, gongy cymbal, clangy cymbal. I have to be in that place of walking in unity. 1 Corinthians 13 message, I can get it really quick. Let me read this to you because it's so, so good. Is this good for you guys? I believe it's helping me. I'm giving you what's been helping me. So, I just think we need to be aware of the enemy. So, love. So, what I was looking at this today. Love never gives up. Of course, you've been told put your name in there. Kim never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. I care more for others than myself. So, what I kind of did, and you can do this on your own. I switched it around in my own mind when I was reading this, because the opposite of love is hate, of course, but it's strife. Wouldn't you agree? It's strife or a lack of unity. So I read it like strife always gives up. Strife cares more for itself than others. Strife wants everything that others have. Strife struts around. Strife has a swelled head. Strife forces itself on others. Strife is always me first. Strife flies off at the handle, keeps the score of the sins of others. Strife rebels when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of lies. Strife never puts up with anything. Strife doesn't trust God. Strife is never looking for the best. Strife is always looking back, and it never goes to the end. It gives up. That's what strife is. So I know we've had some, we've probably through our lifetime, we've dealt with some relationships that have been like impossible. There's some situations where I know that some people have had to remove themselves from people because there was no movement. There was no going forward. And that's what Abram did with Lot. He said, please, we have to separate. I don't believe that's in this household, but I'm just wanting to encourage us today with the word. You know, Paul talked about it. He displayed the heart of God when he spoke. He said in Philippians 2, he says, so by whatever appeal to you there is our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever, strengthening and consoling and encouraging your relationship in him, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. So basically, I believe he is displaying the heart of God here. He's saying, let's be encouraging each other. Let's be unified. Let's have the same heart, same mind. So I just want to encourage y'all. I know we can have oneness in our heart, but let's have oneness in our words. Let's be encouragers. Let's lift each other up. You know, we're called to be encouragers to each other. And I'm going to close with that. I think that's one way we can be intentional with our unity in this church is to encourage each other. Amen? To be encouragers and love each other in that way. Our words are life and death. Let's speak some life words over our each other, but let's speak it over our church. And I believe that, I know in our prayer time, we've been praying over our church. We've been praying over this body that we're growing up in Christ, that we're learning how to look beyond faults and grow up in Jesus and love each other. Amen.